It's Telephone Tuesday. How are you, everybody? Mike Elam sitting in today for Mark Reardon. Brad was here yesterday. You get Mike today, you get Brad again tomorrow, and then on Thursday, supposedly, Mark returns from Greece. What do we think the over-under is that he's actually coming back? Have you seen the pictures, by the way, that he's been posting?
Beautiful.
Oh, yeah. He sends them to us, and then he posts some. I think he'll be back.
I do, too.
I think it will be... I'm torn between grumpy and happy to return. Fred, your thoughts?
I think he's happy to return because he's got a lot to say. He's heard a lot. He's seen and witnessed a lot of international opinion on what's going on in the United States.
Ooh.
So he wants to talk about that.
That would be good.
He's spending the day at sea today, so he's been texting me tons of ideas for interviews he wants to do as soon as he gets back.
Ah.
So it sounds like he's excited. Plus, there has been some phenomenal Scott Jennings audio while he's been gone.
Ooh.
And I have to imagine that he is probably just dying to get some of that.
I suggested he be our first guest when he's back on Thursday.
That's a good plan.
And he said, I think Scott just entered that territory where we can no longer get him because he's become so big. So we'll see.
I don't know. I bet you'll be able to get him.
He said that months ago.
Yeah.
And Scott has been a consistent guest.
Yeah,
so
he's getting bigger
maybe
and
I'm
bigger,
wrong.
Though.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, Jeff Mordock is becoming my guest, thanks to Fred.
Yeah, good.
So every time I'm here, Jeff seems to be joining us. We're going to have him later on today. We're going to talk with Scott Faughn later on this hour. You know, the Missouri legislature is coming to the end. I know. You're all a little sad, aren't you? Have you noticed that there really hasn't been a ton of coverage about Jeff City this year? Have you heard much about Jeff City this year?
No.
Up until we had the lieutenant governor on last week, who dropped a bombshell. We'll talk to Scott Faughn a little bit about that.
I think state control of the police department was one of the hottest things that they've had to deal with.
I think you're right.
Session.
And that was the first thing that Governor Kehoe signed.
Right.
But since then, I mean, it really hasn't been a whole lot that people have talked about, which is probably good, right? So they've got about a week and a half next Thursday. In session. So we're going to talk to Scott Faughn a little bit and find out, because he's the guy who keeps his thumb on the pulse of what's going on in Jeff City. Thank God somebody does. So the Prime Minister of Canada, the new one, was in with Trump, and they were having a conversation. But before they started their conversation back and forth, Trump said he's got a really, really positive announcement that will be made either Thursday or Friday or Monday before we leave, because he's going to Saudi Arabia in a Middle Eastern trip that he's going to do. But he says it'll be one of the most important announcements that have been made in many years about a certain subject, very important subject. You'll all be here. Fred, what's the announcement about?
I have no idea, but talk about a good tease.
How about that?
That was such a good tease. The Canadian Prime Minister said, hey, now I want to know. So he was baffled as well.
He said he was on the edge of his seat.
Could it be about trade and tariffs and some countries agreeing? I don't know.
I think that would be big. Sue, what do you think?
I don't know. That's your best bet, I would think. It's the most recent thing. I can't think of anything else. What are your thoughts?
Well, Ethan, what do you think? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to catch you in the middle of texting. I mean typing. So what do you think the big announcement is that Trump's going to do? You think it's a trade deal? Somebody's being traded?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You think it's probably it?
Trade deal.
I think he's probably going to talk.
Absolutely.
He's shipping Belichick's new girlfriend somewhere else because he's tired of watching that.
Did you see that Belichick just hired a new, I guess, for lack of a better word, a liaison to deal with...
a PR person?
A PR person, yeah, that would be the better way to describe it.
He desperately needs one right now.
Sounds like it's for damage control for everything that's been going on
with
his girlfriend.
I think they've been saying on Fox that Belichick has sidelined his girlfriend.
For certain
purposes.
That's a good idea.
He should probably go to the backup at this point.
It has damaged his view among the public so much, I have to imagine, because now it looks like a 24-year-old is calling every single shot for him and he has no power when he,
right.
for his entire career,
right.
was this big, intimidating figure
right.
that never reacted in the media and
has $70 million mm-hmm. and is letting a 24-year-old run his life.
That's exactly what it looks like. Yeah. So I think that this was a good move for him.
It's really sad when you see it. You kind of get that thing, and you know, it's his life to live.
He
deserves to live his best life, whatever that looks like, right?
I bet he is.
Maybe President Trump, if he thinks the announcement could come Thursday or Friday, maybe he's holding out hope that he's going to be voted elected Pope, and he thinks that may come out of the out of the conclave on Thursday and Friday.
When do we start the conclave on Thursday?
We start it on Wednesday.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Let's talk about it later this hour.
So Fred is a religion editor for KMOX, and he understands all this stuff. And the Protestant Baptist boy over here is just at a loss when all of this stuff happens. I so love watching all this stuff that happens with Catholics. And you're all Catholic in St. Louis. So it's, you know, huge Catholic population.
23%.
I didn't play soccer, so I'm not Catholic.
23% of all Christians or of all citizens?
Of the area.
That is amazing.
It seems like it would be higher. It seems like everybody I know almost is Catholic.
Okay, we can talk about this later, but in the state of Missouri, it's 14% because there's a lot more Protestants in other parts of the state.
Oh, I could see
St.
that.
St. Louis area, it's 23%.
Interesting.
It feels bigger than that, but it's just interesting watching this whole thing kind of play out. I always enjoy, even though I really don't have a dog in the fight, so to speak, I always enjoy watching the pageantry and the process and how it all comes about in picking a new pope. I did not know that they had to put up a chimney. I thought that was there all the time.
I didn't
time.
Either, yeah.
So
Wait a minute. They put one up for it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. They've got the Vatican Fire Brigade who puts it up every time there's a conclave, and
so
they have to install special stoves.
Oh. Okay. I was there. I was in is it Sistine Chapel where this
Sistine
is?
Sistine Chapel, yeah.
And I remember looking at the ceiling, but they have a hole in there cut in that they put in a chimney for when there's a deciding on a pope?
Well, I don't know if they cut a hole into it, but yeah, they've got a way to
right in the middle of the big old painting.
To vent
right
the
in the middle of it, Sue. They just
none
cut
of this
right
makes sense to me.
Michelangelo's work.
To vent the smoke from the burned ballots.
I see. So
and
maybe
it
it's just like a thing that closes and then opens. When you say put a chimney on, well, that's what freaked me out.
No, I think that's pretty much what it is.
It's pretty much what it
put
is.
Put it up on top of the Sistine Chapel because that's where everybody looks.
Interesting.
So they put one up there and they go through the process, and Fred's going to tell us all about that.
Good.
A little
I look forward to that.
I know, 3:45. I'm excited about that. We'll talk to Scott coming up here in just a little bit. What's the big announcement that Trump's going to make? I would think it's going to be tariffs. Just because we've been talking about that, I think he's got a deal with either India or Japan. And I say that just so I can document the fact that I was wrong today. Because I don't think it's going to be anything that is on our radar. And I say that because of the buildup that he has. I mean, when he said, what did he say? And that announcement is going to be made either Thursday or Friday or Monday before we leave. It will be one of the most important announcements that have been made in many years about a certain subject. What the heck does that mean?
I don't know.
A certain subject. You got to love the fact that this guy did a television show for years, so he appreciates, as Fred put it, a good tease.
It's a good point.
So, although as Annie was just talking about, as her show went away, a good tease means something completely different in how men attract women and women attract men. A good tease goes a different way. So that was completely different, wrapping up on the other side. Speaking of a good tease, everybody's already talking about the 2028 election. Didn't we just have an election? Didn't we just talk about Trump's first 100 days? And now we're already talking about who's going to be the nominee in 2028. That's what happens when you get elected to your second term, because after your second term, day one, you're a lame duck, so to speak. We know you're not running again. There was a lot of talk about who's going to be the Democrat person. They can't quite figure out who that's going to be. But they also can't quite figure out why they lost. That seems to be the big discussion that Democrats keep having. Bernie was talking about this, and this is his version of why Trump won. Cut to.
I think Trump's victory is significantly, not totally, a significantly a response to the inactivity or the inability of the Democratic Party to stand up for the working class of this country.
You know, Bernie has just made a career of basically being a one-trick pony. It's the working class man. It's the working class man. That's who it is. That's who it is. I don't know that I necessarily disagree with him on this part, but I remember in 2016, actually it was 2017, it was after the 2016 election, Josh Hawley talking about the fact that Trump completely rewired both political parties. He took what was a Republican base, he offended them and moved them to the Democrats, and he went and got what was a Democrat base, made them attractive to him, and pulled them over. It wasn't that long ago. We had a big right-to-work vote here in Missouri. You remember that? And the Democrats were all union people back then. And now the Democrats or the union people are all Republicans. When I was knocking doors in 2022, man, there were so many union household Trump on the front of their house or Trump stuff in their garage and union proud union home in their yard. I saw a ton of that. You've just seen that flip. And then you had college-educated women, which used to be strong Republicans. Now they're strong Democrats. It's like, how did you flip that? But he did. And we've been trying to figure out up is down is up, blue is green is blue, and all that kind of stuff that has switched since Trump became president back in 2016, 2017, and how all that stuff moved. Now, Gavin Newsom, who wants to be the Democratic nominee in 2028, this is his version of why the Dems lost in 2024.
We landed with a 107-day campaign with Kamala Harris. I thought she ran a very good campaign. It was a challenge campaign. Of course, we lost. We lost the popular vote, and we lost the electoral vote. We got crushed, and we need to be humble about that, and we need to have some grace, and we need to understand why. Was it because of the incumbency penalty? Was it because of inflation? Was it because of interest rates? Was it because of immigration? Was it because we were too, quote-unquote, woke? Was it because of issues with Israel? Was it all of the above? I think we are going through that forensic. We need to understand. At the same time, we also have to push back against the whitewaters and headwinds of the Trump administration.
So it sounds like he has no idea. He just threw it all out there. Why do we lose? Everything. We did everything wrong, which, you know, they basically did. It was funny. I think you had the line yesterday from Jen Psaki. What was it they used to call her? Peppermint Patty. And when she, the old press secretary for Biden, because they're starting, you know, it's all that talk about the fact of you had all the cover up for Biden. People who were in the White House covered up for him. And you knew that he was becoming this senile old man and you covered it up for him. So Jen Psaki is talking about the fact how, hey, just so we're clear, I left 2 years before. So I didn't see that. I was in the Oval Office every day, and I never saw that Joe Biden who was on that debate stage. And I'm thinking, I don't believe you. I don't think that's true at all. But I do find it interesting that everybody's trying to run away, and you've got all this back and forth. Chuck Todd, who's dying to be relevant still. He keeps blaming the fact that it wasn't the media who did that. It was the Democrat leaders who covered all that stuff up. The media didn't do it. I'm like, I think you guys are two peas in a pod. I think you ran together the entire time trying to cover each other's back. But I'm just excited to see what this announcement is going to be, because as Russell was talking about on here, that said, Trump said it doesn't have to necessarily have anything to do with tariffs. I said tariffs just because it's the low-hanging fruit and it would make big news. And I think he needs one of those announcements pretty soon. I think he needs to turn this thing around. It's getting pretty hairy out there for some folks who are losing patience. And I think he's going to need to get a deal done. And I think once he does, once he gets a couple of dominoes to fall, I think he's going to see a whole bunch of stuff fall in his favor. Speaking of falling dominoes, that's what's going on in Jefferson City, because we are at the point where it's the final 2 minutes, so to speak, We're down to the 2-minute warning of the legislative session in Jefferson City. This is where every bill that comes through the legislature is going to get tagged with all those other bills that didn't make it through session. So if you had a bill and you wanted to get it done this year, but it didn't make it out of committee, you're going to try and tag it onto somebody else's bill that will get passed and see if they can drag you across the finish line. Kind of like Bill Belichick's girlfriends trying to drag him across the line. I don't know. We'll see. We're going to talk with Scott Fahn coming up on the other side. Get his take on what's going on in Jeff City. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today on a Telephone Tuesday on 97.1 FM Talk. It's the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk. And yes, Sue picked the music. You got a little Motown flavor going with you today.
Yes.
I'm kind of loving that. You got it. We had Earth, Wind, and Fire going out of the break. You got some Commodores coming back in.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of liking that.
I'm trying to mix it up today.
Getting a little groove going. Speaking of somebody in their groove, Scott Fahn is joining us from the Missouri Times and This Week in Missouri Politics. How are you, Scott?
I am doing great. Last 2 weeks of session. It's a fun time in Jeff City.
It is a fun time. It seems like there's a lot of stuff that just kind of seems to be... I don't know the best way to put it right now, but I was watching your midweek update earlier, and you had a senator on, and you were talking with her about an interesting thing that happened last week. We had the lieutenant governor on after he went in and basically told the Senate that he has some suggestions for them. That kind of went over like a lead balloon, didn't it?
Well, look, I think David Wasinger, it's kind of a catch-22. David Wasinger is a very smart guy, and we get to know him, a really good guy to know. He's a very nice person. I still wager that Colleen is the charmer of the family and probably the brains, but I doubt he would argue with that. When he took the job, the job is not a very big job, let's be honest. I mean, you wake up in the morning, if the governor is still alive, your calendar is pretty open. But the one job you do have is to preside over the Senate. And I'll tell you this. I'm trying to say this in the nicest way because I do like David Wasinger, but he has not mastered the Senate rules yet. He's gotten better. When he did that speech, everybody piled on. I'm like, no, it used to be real rough to try to watch him preside. He's gotten a lot better as the sessions went on. But I don't even think he would say he's mastered the Senate rules. And let's also be clear, he does not stay in that dais very long. Yesterday he was there 11 minutes. Today I think he was there 30 minutes or so. So it would be kind of like if there's a guy listening on the job site right now, if you had a dude that came in and worked an hour, half an hour a day for 3 or 4 days, then on Friday wanted to tell you how bad you were doing the job when you've been there the whole time, how would that go over at any job site that's listening to this show right now?
I'm sure that would
that
go over.
Probably getting locked in the porta pot.
It's probably about as well as it went over from what I heard from the comments from the senator.
If he were to look, if Lieutenant Governor Wasinger were to decide, you know what, I'm going to spend the interim really learning the rules, and I'm going to in session do what would. And also, these senators are accustomed to Mike Kehoe and Mike Pearson actually doing the job and being there, and there's a camaraderie to being there for overnight filibusters and things that he just hasn't put the work in to have. So I think people would be a lot more open to his suggestions if he next session decides to do the job more and gets better at it. Then I think folks would want to care. I know this started because the Senate Appropriations Committee took one of his employees out and deleted them out of the budget. Now, you can insert your outsider drain the swamp, start there, joke how you want to. But he was pretty ticked off. He lost an employee, which every department director in every statewide office holder gets mad when you take away their employees. So that's kind of where this started and what started this. And I do think, though, David Wasinger is a bright guy. He can rally from this. But if all he wants to do is come and say, oh, I'm an outsider, which is not true at all. But if he was, oh, I'm an outsider, you guys are bad. Well, he'll get attention and that's what he'll do. But he'll, you know, that's not a way to earn the respect of your colleagues.
It was an interesting move and one that I don't think anybody really saw coming. And I think
people know he's going to be ticked when he lost his FTE.
I don't think most people thought he was going to do it from the dais. Is that fair?
I think it's fair to say that, you know, look, I think he caught folks by surprise. I also think you wouldn't have been talking about the lieutenant governor last week or right now if he hadn't done that. So I think he's gotten kind of what he wants. And Lou, I think it's going to be interesting to see. David Wessinger is a smart enough guy and a capable enough guy to do all kinds of things with this office. If he wants to be the guy that says, everybody else is bad, I'm the only good person, I'm here to drain the swamp, or whatever cliche you use. Outsider is a term that very smart people use to convince very, very stupid and angry people that they're on their side. If that's what you want to do all the platitudes, he can do that. That's easy. Anybody can do that. That's the simplest thing. He wants to put his head down and do the work. I mean, the truth is David Wessinger is such a talented guy. His next steps are in his hands. He'll make of that job whatever he wants. And if he wants to kind of continue down the path of acting clownish, he will. He'll probably be good at it.
So how do you think session has gone so far?
Well, I've said on this show and others, yes, there was not a lot that's passed the last half decade. It has been very drip, drip, drip slow. But the only thing worse than that is the gusher of bills passing. And that's when the citizens should be very afraid. I think there's been some successes. I think to me, taking over the St. Louis Police Department is a dicey thing. It is a bold, outside the box thing. So we'll see what happens. I think that's a huge legislative accomplishment. We'll see how well it does in actually reducing crime. I think the law to start to build power plants in Missouri again was very important. I think it's went very well, but there's a couple things. Tomorrow night into the evening, they'll have the budget conference committee, and whatever comes out of that will be the state budget. That's the biggest thing everybody's watching now. Then the minute that budget's third read, you'll go into the horse race. There's a Farm Bureau insurance bill that's very important to folks in rural Missouri. You have a VLT bill that's stuck in committee, but there'll be a hearing Thursday. You'll really see that final rush. And then Senator Moon from down in Lawrence County has said he's going to be the judge, jury, and executioner on if legislation doesn't meet the Hammerschmidt standard, which there used to be a standard in the state where bills had to kind of be single subjects.
Right.
Now, that has been blown out. The court has not enforced that recently on any level. They haven't enforced it on ballot measures, much less statutes passed by the legislature. So Mike Moon's going to slow some of that down. So we'll see what that actually looks like next week.
Do you think that, there's been all this talk over the past few years about, super Republican majority needs to pass big Republican things. And we were just talking about when we started the show, I thought that the legislature so far has been conspicuously quiet compared to previous years, especially the last two. It seems like Jefferson City's kind of done Jefferson City, whatever they do there. And we really haven't heard a ton about it other than the Safer Missouri bill that was the governor's main priority. Once that got done, there really hasn't been a ton of talk about things. You'll have some things that you highlighted that people will hit here or there. But I haven't heard a lot of big things getting done beyond that. Is it really that way, or is that just Trump has sucked up all the oxygen in the media world and things have gotten done, we just didn't hear about it?
Well, Trump does suck up all the oxygen everywhere. Every politician in this country finds him probably impossible to compete with. The difference is I had a lot of Democrat friends say, oh, my gosh, you've got to see Kehoe's got to win that nomination. I was like, well, I mean, be careful what you wish for. He won't get on Facebook and whine and complain and tick you off. What he will do, he'll quietly pass things. So I guess the two big ticket items that once the budget is finished on Thursday, attention's going to go to Prop A. They're having to play defense because these initiative petitions, I've always said the Federal Society doesn't care about anybody here. They don't like anybody here. We are just scum. They cut out of their shoes. And to the same extent that the Democrats have the folks that funded Prop A, they don't care that it's bad for this state. They just want to color us in on a map. So they're trying to fix some of the damage Prop A did. That's going to be a big deal. Getting that done will be a huge thing. But again, that's defense. But it's kind of like they're winning elections, but they're not really winning the folks, because the folks are voting for these more liberal ballot measures the same time they vote for Republican politicians. So there's defense. And then the other defensive plays on Amendment 3. If I had to guess, and I've looked into my Stein of knowledge and made a prediction, they'll have a Prop A fix that they'll negotiate and pass in the normal way. But sometime Thursday of next week, they'll have to go to putting something on the ballot to repeal and replace, is what they say, to Amendment 3, the abortion measure that was passed last November. And when that happens, that'll probably have to have a procedural motion called the PQ, and that'll end session. So, unfortunately, the voters have put things into law that the Republicans are now having to play a little defense on before they can get too offensive.
So I was talking with a friend in the House the other day, and we were talking about what's the over-under, whether the Senate makes next Thursday. Do we think they're actually going to make it to Thursday, or do you think they're going to adjourn on Wednesday? Do you think they'll make it all the way through?
Oh, I my gut tells me, look, depending on how much Senator Moon wants to go and spike legislation that he thinks is too broadly written, keep in mind the House loads up every Senate bill with I think today the House did one bill that had 20 amendments or something. whatever Senator Moon chooses to do will determine the pace of the legislative flow. But I think I think they'll make it to Thursday night at least. And I don't think it'll be because there's fighting and it just everybody wants to leave. I think they'll go at some point to the abortion thing on Thursday. Abortion is unlike every other. There's every other subject and then there's abortion.
Right.
So my prediction would be sometime Thursday night they go to the abortion. Something you put an HJR that you put on the ballot, because they'll have to do it sometime. If they have to make changes, right, the House will need to also reciprocate those changes. So I assume Thursday night they start on it. Sometime Friday morning they close debate and pass it over to the House for them to put on the ballot. I would say that's probably when session ends, because you are going to have to give the House some time to run the HJR back through to get it to the ballot. So that's my thought, is sometime Thursday night they'll go to abortion, and that'll kind of be the real end of session.
Anything surprise you so far this session? Anything that you said, I didn't really see that coming?
The pace of Mike Kehoe. I think Mike Kehoe decided he's going to do crime this year. I think he's going to do taxes next year. I think he's going to do school choice the following year. And I think that's kind of the way a businessman would do things. A politician would want to go do a whole bunch of stuff at some big flurry. Mike Kehoe is building the relationships that it's going to take to have a sustainable record, probably the greatest legislative record since Governor Blunt. I think the pace of things, it's deliberate. It's not flashy. It's not made for social media. It's made to win games.
So if people want to catch up on everything that's going on for these last, 10 days? Is that about where we are? 10 days left in this whole thing? If people really want to watch the key things, what do you think are the key things to watch over these last 10 days, Ego? This is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. And that'll be it.
If you're a political insider, if you want to see how many things happen, watch Mike Moon and see how much Senator Moon takes to the floor starting Monday afternoon. That'll be very indicative of what's going to happen going forward. If you're more of a passive observer, Prop A, the fix on that, everything is going to be kind of log jammed after the budget. There'll be a log jam until Prop A has decided what they're going to do with the paid sick leave and some of those things. And then it'll hang over everyone's head. The minute Prop A's fix is done, it'll be how many pieces of legislation can you get through the Senate before they go to abortion? And the bell will toll, and everyone will know that we'll see you in September, because that's what I assume will end session. The Democrats have been pretty open. If you just put the old law up versus the current law, they're going to let that go because they think they can win that rather easily.
They do.
Now, the Republicans, I think, look, here's the sticking point. If you really want to watch the biggest thing that's going to be discussed, if I was on your show a week from tomorrow, the Republicans have a measure that gives you, I think, 8 or 10 weeks. I don't remember the exact one, with some exceptions for rape and incest. But the sticking point is you have to have a police report. You have to have went and filed a police report. Now, I think most folks think that's going to have a hard time passing the voters. will the Democrats just let them walk into that buzzsaw? Do the Republicans take it out? Because I think that's the part, when you talk to folks on the pro-choice side, the part they're going to key on is the forcing women to have a police report to take to their doctor to have an abortion. I think that's going to be, to the extent that's still in there, that's going to make that thing very hard to pass, which frankly might mean the Democrats don't fight it as hard. I mean, the harder the thing will be to pass, the more eager they are to put it back on the ballot. You have two big state Senate races in next summer or next fall, and I think the Democrats would love for this issue to be talked about in those two state Senate districts where Prop 3 passed pretty substantially.
I got to tell you, man, I'm glad that you're there watching all this stuff so I don't have to. All I have to do is turn into this Week in Missouri Politics, and I get to find out everything that's going on because you handle it. Or I can just check out the Missouri Times, and it's all right there. Scott, I appreciate you making some time for us, man.
Thank you very much.
Say hi to Casey for us.
I'll do that, absolutely.
All right, brother. That is Scott Faughn. You can watch him every week on This Week in Missouri Politics. You can check him out on the Missouri Times. We are going to check out Fred Bottomer next and talking about how do we pick a pope. Do you know there's actually a number of popes that have St. Louis connections? Fred will tell you about that. It's coming up next. Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today on 97.1 FM Talk. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today. We're doing a little country as we slide in there.
Uh-huh. Who is that?
Little Liza Jane.
That is Vince Gill.
That is Vince Gill. Mm-hmm. Who used to be with Pure Prairie League years ago.
Yes.
There you go. And is now married to Amy
Grant.
Thank you.
Yes.
Fred Bottomer is joining us. Fred, how are you?
I'm good.
I love it when you come in. Fred Bottomer is on the air at any time. And I have never seen this to not be the case, and I know it's not going to be the case right now. I always learn something new.
You know, I was the easiest booking I've had lately.
Well, that's probably true.
Yeah. Today especially. Today has not been easy for bookings. You
know, it was a little bit funny writing it down on the YouTube previewing who's all going to be on. And then 3:45, Fred Bottomer.
But this is going to be great because we can learn this while it's happening.
Yeah, so let's get into it.
So we're picking a new pope.
Correct.
So tell us about for those of us who aren't super familiar with this, tell us about the process and where do you think this is going?
Well, it begins tomorrow in the morning at the Vatican. The College of Cardinals, made up of 133 voting eligible cardinals. That means men who are under the age of 80.
Oh, so if you're over 80, you can't vote.
You can still be a cardinal. There are 252 total cardinals. 133 are under the age of 80.
Oh, wow.
And can vote. Well, two of them.
That's amazing that almost half of them
can't.
Right.
Over the age of 80.
I didn't know there was an age thing on it, Fred.
Yeah,
I've already
80.
Learned that. Okay.
Right.
Maybe we could do that in Congress. That would be awesome. If you're over 80, you can't vote.
And so they'll go into the Sistine Chapel after a church service at the Vatican tomorrow morning. In the afternoon, they'll go into the Sistine Chapel, and it'll be the start of the conclave, which means with the key. So they're locked into the Sistine Chapel, where they will remain and vote. The first vote will come Wednesday afternoon. This is all Rome time, so 7 hours difference. So it'll be Wednesday morning, St. Louis time. And the first vote will be held, and if there's not a candidate getting two-thirds majority, that'll be 89 votes, then they will break for the day on the first day. And that first vote, I don't know if anyone's ever gotten it on the first vote. Huh. First vote usually signifies your preferences, you know, what direction you want the church to go, and maybe some, you know, friends that you have that you want to honor by placing a vote for them.
I have a question.
Yeah.
I guess you can't really campaign, can you, if you want to be pope, how does that work? Or do they just throw out who they like
in
the first
flyers
round?
In the Vatican?
Well, no, I mean, do you do a little chit-chatting, you know?
Cardinal Dolan, the St. Louis native, now New York Cardinal, said there's no campaign. And if you campaign, that's a bad thing.
Okay.
But there have been, 2 weeks of meetings going on the Cardinals and lots of lunches and lots of times during those lunches.
Yes.
People talk amongst themselves. The Cardinals talk and go over who do you like?
Yeah.
And then they have speeches leading up to today or tomorrow where certain you know, Cardinals will get up and give their vision.
Okay.
So, you know, it's soft politicking, I guess,
yeah,
is how you would
see
it.
That.
That's fair.
But nothing out in the open.
Okay.
Is there a lead horse, so to speak?
Well, it depends on, yeah, there is. And I was just looking at the betting lines. And right now, they've got...
We like journalism.
That's right.
No, I'm sorry.
Cardinal Pietro Parolin. He is the Vatican Secretary of State.
He's, okay.
He's 70 years old.
Okay.
70 years old. He's pretty much a stay-the-course sort of guy if he gets voted in. Sort of has a lot of the Pope Francis qualities.
Where's he from?
Italy.
Okay.
Yep, he's from Italy. And he's sort of the stay the course sort of vote, keep things going the way Pope Francis was. Second most popular right now, betting wise, and Parolin has like 30% of the votes, of the 30% of the voting dollars, the betting dollars.
Oh, gotcha.
Tagle, Cardinal, Filipino Cardinal, Louis Tagle, is the second choice. He's sort of seen as the Asian Francis. He's younger, you know, 13 years ago, 20 years ago, when they had the last conclaves, he was, you know, seen as a chance choice then, but he was way too young.
Uh-huh.
And one thing I did find in my records, and naturally,
and
I found my folder
that.
From 2005, the conclave in 2005 with all our choices
oh my
of who
gosh,
would be successors.
Fred.
And I do have Cardinal Ratzinger as my first choice, and he was the winner
hey.
In 2005. And Jorge Mario Bergoglio, Pope Francis, was the third choice there.
I'll be darned.
And, you know, 8 years later, when Pope Benedict resigned, they chose Cardinal Bergoglio to
I'll
succeed him. So that's that.
Talk about the smoke, Fred.
Oh, okay. So after there are two votes in the morning, two votes in the afternoon. After each pair of votes, so twice in the day, around noon Rome time, around 7 Rome time, smoke will come out and we'll let you know which way the vote went. If they don't have a consensus after the two morning votes, black smoke will come up. And everyone is in the courtyard of the Vatican. They've even got a Sistine Chimney smoke cam.
Oh, do they really?
Online
oh my gosh,
and just watch
hilarious.
It nonstop. And when Pope is elected, you will see white smoke come out. And that's not really that old. I mean, they just started that probably in the late 19th century. It's
okay.
not always been decades and centuries of this.
Was there a time where they actually did lock them in there and they didn't get a break at the end of the day where you were just in there for days?
I can tell you there was one.
Hang on a second.
Okay.
Let's talk about that after the top of the
okay.
of the hour, right before
yep.
we go into Sue's News, which is next. It's 97.1 FM Talk.